You're listening to Get Gig Ready. If you're a music maker, emerging or early in your career, or even a veteran looking to brush up on the basics, we're here to get you close to some amazing local talent to help amp up your skills. We're into the second half of the series now, and as we continue talking to industry insiders over the last few episodes, we're going to be delving further into the behind the scenes of the business, starting today with Maya Billick, a radio host and manager for Gauchi, as well as label scout for IOU, managing at 23, and judging the Australian Music Prize. Get Gig Ready is presented by City of Ryde, Lane Cove Council, the Live Music Office, Music New South Wales, and 2SER, with support from Macquarie University. Our feature track this week is The Cinderella Complex by Coda, which you're hearing right now.
Hello, I'm Peter, the drummer from Sydney-based four-piece band Coda. We recorded the song with the hope of giving people a little escape from the current day-to-day.
But you will have to wait a little while for that escape, because we will be hearing more from them at the end of the show, including the full track. So Maya, you and I came up through the same radio course at uni, that being Arts Media at Macquarie. Going from that to working at FBI, was it that gig that allowed you to find your path through the music industry?
Definitely. I think unless you really know and take it upon yourself to research like the music industry, and I guess more so in Australia because it's a lot smaller, the opportunities are a little bit narrower. At first, it sort of seems like the option is either become a musician or something in the background, but you don't really know what that kind of is yet. And it was definitely getting involved at FBI that made me realize there were so many more avenues and opportunities to be involved, and in a very creative way that would be just as rewarding and just as insightful and challenging as becoming an artist. I find working behind the scenes a bit more rewarding and valuable. Maybe it's because I like radio versus being directly in the spotlight in that sense.
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. And I mean, obviously coming from a presenting background myself, being behind the scenes provides a new list of avenues that I think a lot of people don't necessarily see from the outside until they kind of get their foot in the door.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, with a lot of local and community stations like we have here around Sydney, it's a really good opportunity to get that first foot in so you can see those opportunities open up.
Yeah, absolutely. And radio is the best example for it. There is one person behind the mic, but there are four other people behind the studio who make things happen, whether it's like a producer, whether it's the program director, the music director. Yeah, it's definitely, if you're looking for ways to start getting involved in music, a really good start.
It's also interesting you were talking in there about how you kind of got started in uni and getting into those things. Did you find yourself being a very creative, expressive individual before you got into doing it through university, or did it really kind of open up for you once you'd done the classes?
I knew I really liked music, and I knew I also really liked humanities classes in high school. I really liked society and culture. I really liked history extension, and I knew that it was something I could try at least. I didn't think I would really figure out what I wanted to do, and I still don't have a complete idea of what this plan in music is going to look like, especially right now, but I find it really exciting to just be able to put my head down and experience everything put all of that experience together into something that'll hopefully be big one day.
Yeah, because I think looking at how you've kind of framed how university shaped what has become your career now, I feel a lot of people perhaps come in thinking they're on the back foot because they haven't been making music or they haven't been making radio for 10 years, but those opportunities still exist if you just get started. And I think that your experience is a great example of that. And I think particularly when you were talking about how you fell into management without necessarily perceiving that to be an option until you got the foot in the door, what do you think you learned about the role of management that tipped you over into actually taking that role up yourself?
From what I've heard from a lot of people when they first started managing, most often than not, you kind of fall into it by accident, and you fall into it really unsuspecting things between a bunch of really good friends. And that's definitely the situation they feel really lucky to be part of, that it doesn't necessarily feel like stagnant, rigid work. On the one hand, when you do work with friends, you in the back of your mind are like, you know, what if something falls apart?
Yeah.
But it's also probably one of the best decisions I've ever really made. Gauchi is a band that I was introduced to from one of my friends from high school. For ages, she was bringing me along to their gigs because she was working with the vocalist of the band, Antonio Gauchi, who's also an incredible engineer as a day job. And it just kind of felt like the natural right step. They were unofficially asking, Antonio at least was asking unofficially for like advice and what I thought about shows. And I ended up booking them for Secret Garden to play. And it just, we tested out a few different avenues and it felt right. And we did a bit of a trial together and it just kind of all flowed really naturally. We had this joke because they were already on the 23 roster when they debuted at Big Sound last year. They were already joking around that I was their like tour manager and guiding them along the way. So it just kind of felt like it was meant to be.
I think that's really interesting because at least maybe this is just me, but I feel as though people have this interpretation of the manager as the guy at the back of the venue with the suit on, just not really paying attention or caring, just pulling the cash in at the end of the show. But it's really great to hear that, you know, having that relationship and just going to the shows and making those connections can lead to those opportunities, and very organically so, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think like the best managers are able to be really good partners with the artists that they are vouching for. My boss, Melody, is a really great role model. She's been able to completely develop Valis Alps independently this whole time to the status that they're at right now, purely because she's been able to understand their vision, translate that to their team, and then execute what they want in that kind of way and in a really considered and thoughtful manner. I think that's really at the heart of the art of management, being able to think about stuff together and being able to give artists the privilege to just focus on music as well really, I think, means a lot to them and translate really well in their work and the music that they can create if that's what they can just focus on really.
Yeah, would you have any tips for people out there who are listening who perhaps don't necessarily have as easy of an in as having a friend who has management skills? You know, where and who should you be looking for to try and find people like yourself who can get into management positions for small bands?
I guess it's hard because, to be honest, a lot of work in music, in no way is this to discredit anyone's hard work at all. It's just as much hard work as it is luck, being in the right place and at the right time, and really being personable is what makes a difference and sets you apart. Like, I think in my case, I can only speak to that. What made it kind of fall in place with Gauchi was knowing that I was genuinely a fan and really cared for them, but also be able to switch to work. And the best way that you can really learn any kind of management, when I first started at FBI, I was the assistant to the program director, so I was able to watch her manage all the volunteers and really learnt like how she was able to communicate with people, manage expectations, teach people. There is value in learning something like taking a class in music business or learning how to produce and make radio, but it's nothing without being able to actually have the experience and be in the position to be like, okay, this is how this is going to happen, or this is how I'm going to approach this email, or how to make different groups of people happy.
So looking at Gauchi and the work that you've done with them, we've been speaking a bit on this series about the importance of innovation and maybe embracing things like streaming. How important is innovation to the work you do with them, and where should people be looking?
I think it still might be a bit soon to say, just because they've been making music for a few years now, but they're still quite new and still have ways to go to establishing themselves. And that's really what we're working on. We're not trying to get too ahead of ourselves and think that we've cornered Sydney if it doesn't feel like that. It's, I guess, more so just really important to be comfortable with the fact that it's okay to do things at the start on your own. Really considering all the elements is what is going to set you apart from other people. So take a look at some of your favorite artists. Think about how you connect with them. Is it Jack River is really good at coming across really personally on her social media. Maybe that's something that you want to adopt. How does that work for you? What really Gauchy has taught me is thinking about everything and making sure that it feels right for you. It's, I think, a lot harder to think about what you want to be. If you can at least have a really detailed list of what you don't want, it's a lot easier to figure out what you do want to do, and then you can take things from there.
Yeah. I particularly like your point in there about how you've, you know, cornered Sydney, because a lot of people perhaps will be getting in thinking like, oh goodness, you know, I haven't even got myself known in Sydney. How am I going to get known around the country? How am I going to get known around the world? But for a band like Gauchy, you know, you're taking those steps one step at a time, building it up gradually, it sounds. And I think that there's a great value to that approach in the way it sounds you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to take anything for granted. And this is not to say that you need to be constantly thinking, damn, like, how are we going to be staying relevant all the time? Rather, you want to be thinking about things as forging relationships, so you want to establish it in the right kind of way. Not necessarily thinking about like, okay, how can we go from playing a like 100 cap venue to a 500 cap venue. You have to really think about like the mouthpieces of everybody else and how you can establish that relationship with them. As a radio presenter, I know I'm constantly talking about this really great band from Melbourne or this really great band from Perth that I think someone should be checking out. And you really shouldn't underestimate the power of community radio and being really in touch with people in that sense, that they will do the recommending and the talking for you.
Yeah. And I'd be interested to know your opinion on how you think an artist can best know when they are ready to make that leap from the smaller to larger venue or from the local shows to a tour. Is there any particular thing that you would point out and say, this is the defining piece of evidence? Or is it really just got to be kind of that global attention to how your show is going and how your community is?
Feel like it's pretty different for everyone. I know the easiest way to really answer that is a lot of people look at like how many streaming numbers they have regularly, how many regular listeners they have in a month, more than just how many people follow them, how many people are actually engaging with what you're doing. That's probably the easiest way to measure like when you can build and like grow the value of the brand and the asset alongside like getting really cool looks in press, for example. You kind of need both to work with the other for it to grow and build in that sense. So shouting out like streaming numbers to someone doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
If you don't have people who are going to keep staying engaged in that way.
Do you think that the way that streaming and numbers and all of the actual data you can receive these days has changed the shape of management? Or do you think that the fundamentals still kind of remain the same? You just get the information from elsewhere.
I think it's helped without a doubt. The amount of like resources, just even thinking about how people used to look at like record sales and CD sales is a big indicator of when things were popping off. Just the fact that the conversation has changed from their streaming is really big in Brazil, for example.
Yeah.
It's just like an extra piece of information that can help you. I think more so like it doesn't mean anything unless you don't have a story to give people as well.
I mean, I know personally I have one band I was friends with who did a tour to Russia. And basically their manager was like, no, don't do it. It's terrible. The numbers are absolutely horrific. But they had, you know, good word and good communication with fans from Russia. And their manager basically found out that the reason that the numbers didn't represent it is because everyone in Russia was torrenting the music.
There you go.
So they still had a huge fan base and everyone was there ready to go. But, you know, they'd never see a day of good streaming numbers just because that was the music culture where they were going. And you had to kind of, you know, pay attention in a different way for them to be able to make that leap.
It's really easy to get carried away with streaming. You know, it means everything, but also means nothing. How many people have you found on Spotify, for example, that have like millions and millions of streams that you've never heard of, have never come across? Like they are meaningful somewhere, but they might not be meaningful to you.
Yeah.
This is definitely the case in a place like America where there isn't a national youth broadcaster that a lot of people come to find new music. That's where having a really good team that can bridge those gaps is the most valuable, and being able to grow from a one-person team into three or four that can help is where it's going to be growing dividends for you.
Yeah, and I think the other nice thing about bringing in a team of people can be finding other skill sets to bring on outside of just making music and distributing it, because, you know, you can start to deal more with sponsorships, with merch sales, and divvy those up as who has the best skills for those certain roles in the band.
Yeah, for sure. In Gauchi, for example, we joke that it's pretty inexpensive to work as a band because Antonia is an engineer. She mixes everything for them. Felix produces alongside her on everything. All of the design and artwork, they curate themselves before bringing in friends who really generously help out with their time and their creativity. And being able to have people to lean on is definitely really rewarding as well.
Yeah. Do you find that working with a band who has those creative skill sets on the inside to be able to produce their music kind of puts them in a bit of an echo chamber where it can sometimes be a bit difficult to knock an idea out of their head if you don't think it works? You know, how do you have that discussion? How do you talk with the band about, you know, maybe this idea is kind of a bit too much inside your own head?
It's really got to come down to your relationship and your rapport with them. I feel like if that kind of conversation is uncomfortable, then maybe not necessarily the relationship isn't right, but something isn't entirely together there that you should be, at least like as the manager, someone who can say something straight up and as it is and be looking out for their best interest, but at the same time be doing things in a way where you're not alienating them and making people feel discouraged. There's definitely an art to giving feedback, for example.
Yeah. And then in terms of, you know, them juggling their work outside of the band and within the band, how do you go about making, you know, time decisions for a band that is obviously as, you know, widely skilled as the team in Gauchi is? Is it sometimes a little stressful having to deal with people having, you know, a day job to deal with on top of the band? Or is that, you know, does that just come again with those communication skills and making sure that you, you know the team's limitations?
I think the best response is David, who plays guitar in Gauchi, sent through a picture to me of a broken, beaten piano that had been pushed down a building and captioned it before Maya started managing Gauchi. I think once you are like managing yourself and also working on music, it's obviously really hard to try and look at things differently and not only give the music the time and let it sit and feel right, but then you're also thinking like, crap, I have to work out like the best way to time socials and have to upload everything to TuneCore or whatever distributor you're using, or do I even know the right people that I'm going to send this to? Being able to, again, as I said earlier, be a band with a manager is a real privilege, and it does feel really lucky, and it does make me feel good that I can take that kind of responsibility off them, that they are able to then just focus on how they want everything to be received and thinking about the music.
Yeah, and then also you mentioned getting your distribution in there, and you use TuneCore for Gauchi, it sounds like. If your band, Gauchi, was to come to you with a package of, you know, CD art, how is that best structured? What is the best way to kind of work with your manager to deliver that as a product so that the distribution process can be as straightforward as possible?
Well, first you want to make sure that if you're an unsigned artist, obviously, and you have to distribute yourself, you want to think about what platforms you want to be distributing onto, whether you want to be using TuneCore or DistroKid, if you can afford one over the other. There are a whole bunch of different options for you. Do you want to be putting out CDs? Can you afford to print vinyl? It is the role of the manager to be able to take everything and guide the team and inform them as much ahead of time as possible so that it can all be handled in the best way. In terms of actually like uploading everything to distribution, from my experience with DistroKid, it's pretty simple. You get the ISIC number generated for you. You upload the track. It's really nice to be managing an independent band with the way that access has been really deconstructed in the last few years.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing to know, and Valis Alps is probably the best example that you can do it and do it independently.
What do you think it is about them that really sets them apart as a good example of how to do that distribution, given the democratization of things like DistroKid and Spotify, making it so much easier to publish your music all around the internet?
They were very lucky. They had a manager who was also a publicist. but they also just purely by chance got picked up on a bunch of like YouTube viral blogs like Majestic Casual, and it just happened to blow up for them on the day of release. They really weren't expecting anything of it. They didn't make any plans to be musicians, and it all just kind of changed from there.
And I mean, obviously, you know, having done the work to get set up so that you're in a position to do that was, I imagine, a very important part of that process for them.
Yes, I can definitely attest from my boss, Melody, that there was a lot of hard work on her part put into putting everything together that she continually does as a manager. There's a lot of work behind the scenes, from researching the weirdest, strangest things to just trying to figure out how to launch performance reports and how to put an APRA songwriting registration together, actually launching the reports so that you can get paid for your work, for example, as well. There's a lot that you have to put together behind the scenes.
Yeah. So when it comes to APRA reports and things like that, how much should small bands be focusing on them? Is that something that you kind of can worry about down the line when you're looking at turning a hobby into a career? Or is that something that you should really just get off the block as soon as you can?
If you want to do it I don't want to say the right way, but if you want to cross all your T's and dot all your I's as soon as you've got a song ready, you want to go ahead and register it. But at the same time, you want to also be sending it out to the right people so that it can get airplay, and then you can claim back on APRA reports the royalty payments for it. So if you, for example, write a song that just randomly gets picked up and you're getting a bunch of airplay, then you should at least then also be really getting onto registering for APRA. Australia has one of the best music royalty payment initiative services in the world.
Yeah. What do you think it is that artists here in Australia can take advantage of with APRA that they might not elsewhere around the world?
APRA is really good in that, other than being able to get royalty payments in that sense, if you are an APRA member, there's also a lot of initiatives that they do to focus on and bring up Australian music. There are a whole bunch of grants and initiatives always on offer, webinars and even articles on advice, for example, why publicity is important, should you be considering it for where you're at with your music. If you are an APRA member, you can get discounts on certain services. They do like part of the work for you. They'll have recommended, for example, music insurance policies and companies that you can then go and look through. It's just great to know that there's something that you can at least have as like some kind of a guide, and there's a person there on the end who can always answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah. And obviously that deals a lot with the kind of recording, publishing and distribution side. But when it comes to putting live shows, obviously you connected with Gauci through their live shows. How important is it for bands to kind of get that show right, as opposed to getting, you know, the perfect recording out? How much should artists be juggling the perfected studio version versus the energetic live version?
I think it just depends on the kind of music you want to be making and the musician that you want to be. Like, the Beatles, halfway through their career, stopped performing, and they still put out some of the best work ever. And I think intentionally also work that couldn't easily perform live for that purpose. But yeah, it just depends exactly on what you want to do. And I think that said, you want to have a really fun live show as well. It does also, I find, Felix made a really good point. When you're writing songs, being able to test them out live can also really help, because you can see how a crowd is going to receive something nothing can really mimic the moment of actually being on stage or performing, and being able to do that and feel that, not just the energy, but just being able to test things out.
Yeah, you know, I guess you probably want to be well rehearsed enough to where you're not going to absolutely flub it, but also leave enough room where you can, you know, make improvements from what happened on last night's show and kind of tweak it as you go, rather than trying to put this rigid structure in place right from the get-go.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like, even when, you know, if you're trying to film a video for something, the second that you think about being recorded, your voice changes, how you carry yourself changes in comparison to when you're a bit freer and performing, for example. Like, it's just a totally different thing.
It's the flip side of what we experience in radio, hearing our own voices recorded, I guess.
Definitely.
Maya, that is where I think we will leave it for Get Gig Ready today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. That was really fun.
Of course, if you want to catch more of Get Gig Ready, do not forget to follow us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms, wherever you listen to it. And if you could leave us a rating, that would help us out tremendously. Get Gig Ready is presented by City of Ryde, Lane Cove Council, The Live Music Office, Music New South Wales, and 2SER, with support from Macquarie University. It is now time to throw over to our feature track by Coda, the Cinderella Complex.
Hello, I'm Peter, the drummer from Sydney-based four-piece band Coda. The song you're about to listen to is The Cinderella Complex. The song was inspired by New York, San Francisco, and James Dean. We recorded the song with the hope of giving people a little escape from the current day-to-day. We are Coda. Enjoy The Cinderella Complex.
I'm in New York, playing house with the wannabe. But the sun don't set where I'm gonna be. She's a waitress and a sucker for the big screen. She asked what I'm staring for. I said I can't tell you, but I promise it's complicated. Jackie, won't you shoot me, 'cause I feel like I'm dying, and I don't care for a lullaby. I'm sure as shit she's worth it, and every bit as perfect as you want her to be. If I sit by the ocean, would you let me go? I feel like I'm choking, and I can't stay afloat. Put a record on, grab another beer, 'cause I'm strung like a cigarette, I'm burning like cherry bomb, I miss you. Frankie, you know I love you, and I'll never ever leave you, so stop running around. Seems you're looking for something I swear just can't be found.
Enjoyed The Cinderella Complex. We are Coda. You've been listening to us on Get Gig Ready.
I'm in New York, playing house with the wannabe, but the sun don't set. where I'm gonna move.